Oh, no wonder nobody can hear anything on Wall Street Radio. Okay, now you can hear things on Wall Street Radio. Ha, I've opened the gate.
Yes.
Apologies. Well, okay. So, let's just kind of restart the whole proceedings, because I was, as I said, I was going to have a guest who's in Ecuador and has obviously less internet connectivity than I do. It's really weird, like Studio B is no problem. Look at this. You know, absolutely no problem coming through to the station. Through the, I was like battling through blizzards and razor blades and glass bottles and fragments and shrapnel, and you know, I was just not able to get on Studio A. And here I am coming in full hi-fi quality. I wish I big echoes. So. So we were talking earlier, and we'll talk about the trauma thing and various other pieces of information, including your cube. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. But first of all, you wanted me to read your rays, didn't you, Karen?
Yeah, you did a real brief one. It was just like, oh yeah, you're a two of blah blah and blah blah, and then the show ended. So I didn't really get like a reading.
Okay, so. Tell us a bit, well, just, actually, I need you to talk for a while, so could you do that for me?
Sure, let's see. Well, we really, you and I were on Mona's show earlier, and we had a really enjoyable talk, and you were talking about a couple of your websites and an experience I had in a healing having to do with the roots of the Hebrew tribe coming to this planet, and some of the conflicts with that, and that was a continuation of last Monday's session. So that was really fascinating. I really enjoyed all of that, all of those conversations. I enjoyed those. So I don't know, is that enough?
No,
okay. What else? This is the best I've felt in many a day ever since I had that parallel life bleed through. I have been absolutely miserably depressed, as in like not getting out of bed unless I have to go to work. Depressed. But you know, I'm hoping today's a new day.
Okay, so this and this might explain things. You're raised 276.
I'm sorry, 276?
276.
Okay, and explain to me again.
Sure.
What they?
Yeah. Let me just have some tea here. Okay, so, because I was just listening to what you were saying as well, and it was a very fascinating conversation, and like I said, I want you to talk a bit about, you know, some of that this later. But, okay, so what is 276? How does that work out? Well, as I say, the ray 2 is the human ray. That's the ray of the heart. Is my signal, am I clear, or am I being broken up?
You're a little warbly, but not bad. Oh. Are we still on, or did you break up? I think we lost. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Oh. I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I hang on. There's that. Oh, look at that. Hang on.
We lost you for a little bit.
Yeah. See, that's actually a physical hardware issue, that crackling thing.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how these little events only seem to happen when it's Revolution Radio time.
Ah.
You know, I don't get these, you know, I get the odd event, but, you know, switches that have a tiny piece of dust that, you know, I've got a board of switches, right? It's full of switches. And one of them is a key switch, and there might be a tiny bit of dust in it. And somehow, during that moment, it works its way between the contacts and disconnects the switch. I have no idea how or why that happens, but one can only think that that's like, you know, people are sending psychic influences to mess things up for us.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, you know, it's like everything's alive, everything has consciousness, and yeah, that could be responding to somebody else's thought form. and it sounds like you're not there anymore.
No, no, I'm here. I tried to mute myself because otherwise my signal's sending stuff all the time because it's sending the background noise. That breaks up the signal. So I always mute when somebody else is speaking. When somebody else speaks. I need a high-speed dongle, indeed. I need something. This is totally useless internet for the, 23rd time. It's all right. You know, the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, do you want to go ahead on with the reading?
Let me call you again. Let me reset the call and let's see what happens. What rubbish this is. Okay, so now I'm back on the studio. Karen, you back there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so let's go back into 276. Right, what are 276s? Am I clear and fluent?
You are, you're good.
Yeah, just give me a kind of, say ping when I'm starting to warble, okay? So that I, because it'll, what happens is that as I warble, it's breaking up the signal and the delay builds up. And so there comes a point when I'm like about 10 seconds ahead of you. And so, anyway, long story. Right, anyway, meanwhile, Unimatrix 5, subsection 3. So we are looking at the Ray 2, Ray 7, and Ray 6. Now, 276 is a very, very popular, let's say, Ray package for people who have recently moved off the sixth ray soul and are moving along to the seventh ray soul group. And that's basically the entire human family. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what we call the Piscean Age and what we call the Aquarian Age, those have a predominant ray, and the ray of the Piscean Age is Ray 6. And the ray of the Aquarian Age is Ray 7. So as you can see, 7th ray soul, 6th ray personality. Your personality
ping.
Moves to your ping. Soul.
Ping.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, I'll hear you. Where did you lose me?
Let's see. The last part was you were saying the Piscean Age going into the Aquarian Age, going from the sixth ray to the seventh ray.
Yeah. Okay. So people with the 7-6, the 276 ray package, are moving from a sixth ray position to a seventh ray position as they evolve personally. Because when you do your personal evolution, you go from the ray of your personality to the ray of your soul. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and then your personality takes on the ray of your soul. So you get to, 276 will possibly evolve into a 126 or a 127. You see, depending on how far they've jumped into the... That's if they're going on the... on the constant. All right. I can hear you, actually. You don't have to type it. You just say it. Okay. Am I caught up again? Am I caught up?
Yeah, I think so. But you still sound warbly.
I'm coming through the ley lines good. Okay. All right, so this is
better.
This is going to be one of these uphill struggles. Yeah.
It's okay.
So, where was I? Hang on, I need to drink lots. Hang on. There we go. So, where were we? People.
The evolution from the two to one.
Okay, so people, when people evolve, they move from their personality ray to their soul ray. Actually, when people evolve, they evolve from their physical to their emotional to their mental to their personal to their soul. Okay, that's the evolutionary process. Each of those stages is known as something else. And when you get to the level of the personality, that means you're now looking at somebody who is becoming initiated. Now, most of humanity are uninitiated, apart from people who are interested in things like reincarnation. So, am I still wobbly?
No, you're good.
Good. And by the way, this is not anything to do with my landline or, you know, anything. If you look at map.ipviking.com, if everybody has that window open, and then see when these big attacks happen, whether our signals get changed. What is that? Is it like the ballet where a bear guy's around in a little car? Oh, no. Anyway.
Well, I guess Mike says the whole station, or Studio A, has been under a big DDoS attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. And, of course, that also means he is, you know, at his studio.
Right. And you are warbling again.
Yeah. So I'm getting...
Concentration, guys.
And...
That was Mona saying that we can't have perfection. Well, I don't know.
We can't have perfection. We had perfection earlier.
We had two
solid hours. You see, that's what I mean. You know, it's nothing to do with my internet connection. It's to do with the whole connection between our countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that everything has to go through Microsoft Central, Microsoft's Microscope Central, so that they can examine everything that we have with a fine-tooth comb to see if we're doing anything wrong. At all.
In their eyes, undoubtedly, we are.
Oh, yeah, we're talking.
Doing everything.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I'm not doing, there's nothing against the law to what I'm doing. There is no law against what I'm doing. There's no legal statute against what I'm doing. You know, I'm telling people that they're numbers and that these numbers mean something. It has no, there's no legal barrier, you know. As you say, this is what I think you're like. Anyway, so now here's the thing: the 276 ray is like, this is humanity. How can I say this? Under manners, in a sense of being you're kind of being rounded up to pay off the karma that you built up. So you're oriented towards repaying and rebalancing your karma.
Yeah, and that's been a big factor in my life.
Yeah, well, it's happening all over the planet, but everybody on the planet is 276, you see? You know, when I say everybody, not everybody, but like the largest group is going to be that. And this is all the warlike stuff. This is all the dogma. I had a guest on last night, and he was relatively controversial, said some interesting things. And you know, in this, I completely agree with him. Everything about the world outside of you is reflected inside of you, and you perpetuate it. You perpetuate what's happening on the outside by your actions on the inside. And so I like to introduce people to their own inner Nazi. Is that the only reason that we have fascism outside of you is because there's fascism inside of you. And that's that urge to control and the urge to delete and delete or kill or remove or destroy. You know, all of those words are ego words.
Mm-hmm.
You know? These are all, this is the problem. It's the problem. That is the whole problem, is all of those words.
Well, and it's the whole shadow thing where you take the inner Nazi, project it outside, and then that's when you create the external Nazi.
Mm. Yeah. So the shadow is what's known as the dweller on the threshold. And it's seen as the great resistance to your development. You know, oh, I'd be perfect if it wasn't for such and such and so and so. You know, I'd be all very enlightened if it wasn't for such and such and so and so. You know, have you ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not the such and such and so who's the problem. You know, you'd be enlightened were it not for you. Because, you know, if you're saying, I can't do it because of such and such and so, what's that? What's that? What do we call that these days?
A projection.
Yeah, but it's also being... being a victim.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. What does one do with an inner Nazi? Now, that is a very good question. See, and it comes back to what I was talking about earlier. It's shock that starts this thing off, that starts this. And when we're shocked as very young children, the mindset of that moment remains with you. So if you're shocked when you're a newborn, some part of you remains newborn. And that's probably why circumcision creates a loyal subject. That's why they call it a covenant.
Yeah.
Because you are shocked, and so that part of you is frozen there. And that's the bit that is the you know, that is given over, that makes you credulous, that makes you succumb to authority and become a Nazi, essentially. So,
well, and that part of you remain a child too, or remain infantile, or remain in that emotional state where you were shocked. You know, whether you're newborn or 2 years old or whatever. But what about like past life stuff bleed through? Is that the same?
Well, my theory, Karen, about past life stuff, is that all the events in your current life are a protrusion in from past lives. So, for instance, if you've basically, you know, your past life, if your energy has protruded outside of your boundary in a past life, then you're going to protrude into the boundary of some other, and since we are all one, it was going to be you.
Yeah.
So your karma is produced in other lives by pushing through the membrane, by extending beyond your boundary.
Mm-hmm. Because I have memories of, I mean, when I was 16, my mom and dad sent me to Cambridge, England for like 6 weeks of art school and culture and touristic stuff, and I stayed at one of the colleges in Cambridge and then just toured around the southeast and took some art classes and had fun. And as soon as my feet hit the ground in England, I had never given a thought to reincarnation before. I was a 16-year-old hippie chick, you know. I was, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, wild child stuff. And I'm like, I had a 6-week deja vu. Everywhere I walked, I felt like I was walking on my own bones. I knew I had been there not one lifetime, but hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes.
Oh, very interesting. So, Cambridge, I had a friend there who had a boyfriend at Peterhouse. This is when I was in my early 20s. She had a boyfriend at Peterhouse. So we snuck in one day to the oldest college in Cambridge, Peterhouse College, which is like really famous, and it's that fantastic old oak.
Yeah, the name's familiar, so I probably went there.
Yeah, there's a book called Porterhouse Blue, which is based on Peterhouse.
Uh-huh.
It's a famous kind of cheese it was. But the place itself was one of those oak paneled rooms. You know, had loads of the oak, you know, everywhere was oak paneled, and you could just kind of imagine just being able to go on one of these panels and it would slide open, and you know, you'd find a bottle of scotch in there or something, equally, or somebody's head, you know, the head of a grey, you know. So it's a place that is full. I mean, this is like the oldest college ever. There's like 1200 AD. Which makes one wonder, you know, there aren't many things that are like 6th century that are still around, are there?
No. But this was everywhere. I mean, this was walking the commons. This was, you know, everything but Stonehenge. I had no sensation of ever having been on Stonehenge. So I don't know why that door didn't open for me, you know. But yeah, you know, when we went to Coventry Cathedral and Ely and this and, you know, kind of everywhere around the southeast of England, all the big cathedrals and stuff, and over to Oxford, and everywhere I went except for Stonehenge, I had that.
Did you go to Glastonbury?
No. Right. That wasn't on our tour.
Stonehenge and Glastonbury, those are different frequency vibrations than those places you mentioned, Ely and Cambridge and all that. Even Stratford-on-Avon. That's what we call touristy, you know?
Yeah.
But Stonehenge is basically a bunch of rocks stuck in the ground, and it's really quite boring, unless you're, you know, into the vibes of things. But on that tour, I would say that the people around you would not be able to handle the kind of energies that you'd get at Stonehenge and Avebury. I'd recommend, rather than, well, yeah, Stonehenge and Avebury are not that far from each other. Avebury, Silbury Hill. So if you're coming out from London, you get to Avebury, then you get to Stonehenge, and then you get to Glastonbury. Glastonbury is like Stonehenge is about halfway from London to Glastonbury. It's a long way. But Glastonbury is a fantastic place. I lived there for a year, and I met my wife, and I conceived a son, and got into all sorts of trouble, built pyramids. It was great. And that's where I met Shari Edwards, who was a regular guest on Journeys. So your personal journey. Let's go back to your raise, because we're coming back to this. Your personal journey is from Ray 6, which is it's basically being exactly as you were, you know, a wild child, you know, a 6-ray person is. Do you remember the Klingons?
Yeah.
Viking.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vikings, you know. Let's go out, let's party, let's have a great time, you know. Either that, or they're dedicated, sure, yes, sir, soldiers, or nuns, or monks. Or people who are incredibly enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that almost to the point of being
Piter?
I'm thinking like I don't want to say one dimensional, but just kind of like a
obsessive,
a shallow passionate or narrow passionate.
Yeah, obsessive.
Yeah.
Obsessive compulsive, you know, somebody who is a fan for the sake of being a fan of something. Don't care what it is, as long as I'm a fan of something, you know, so they'll flip from team to team and things like that. So you can see this playing out all over the world. Now, do you remember what I was talking about earlier? Which is the whole thing about the guides talking to me about saying the current preoccupation, which was war, and that it's caused by these qualities, you know, bigotry and racism, all that fascism, but those qualities are caused by a crystallization of the emotional body.
Yeah, and your thing again.
The Energizer.
Yeah, the Energizer.
Yeah, Energizer. As in inside, yeah, so energizing, this is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that? But anyway, so this thing, when I've kind of perfected it, will be able to loosen that thing, that crystallization. It's like something inside you has frozen. Something's... The energy's kind of completely drained out of it.
So something inside you is traumatized and frozen, and then to buffer yourself from it, you build an obsessive compulsion.
Yeah, and you're running away from it. What do people do when they're running? They run as fast as they can in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the direction that is. And then they find an excuse to run in that direction. Oh, it's because of this. No, I'm just running away from that. You see?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the word that I want. Like when you take an emotion you can't deal with and project it outside of yourself. There's a psychological term.
Yeah, projection.
Yeah, there's another term.
Denial. Denial and projection are two sides of the same coin. So, all right, so let's talk about the process, because this is something I've been working with quite a while, you know, and on myself and helping others with theirs, because I'm finding it very, very helpful, because it helps people with their everyday problems as well as their major life problems. So let's have a look through this. Is people come with a presenting problem. You know what that means, yeah? Presenting problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I've got a pain in my left foot, you know. And you eventually go on and you discover that, you know, the pain in the left foot has, you know, always been there. And you've only just become aware of it because you stubbed it or something like that. But you've always had that pain in the foot. And that pain in the foot has been zoned out. You're numb to it. You can't feel it anymore. And your body kind of twists itself and compensates a little bit. And, you know, it will... You know, we are amazing. You know, our bodies are amazing and can kind of function despite some terrible setbacks. And what happens is that... You know how when you scrunch up your eyes against a bright light or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can also scrunch up your internal organs against a feeling.
Oh yeah.
And when that happens and you don't release it, and you're maybe even not aware that you've just done that, then what happens is that you walk around with these scrunched up internal organs, and eventually, because they're not getting any oxygen, because you've scrunched them up and they can't breathe, then they start going septic. And you start getting diseases in these things. But actually, it's because they're all scrunched up and you haven't relaxed them.
Yeah.
And it may be that those kidney stones might not hurt so much if your kidneys and ureters were not so tense. So... what I look for is like where the feeling that makes that tension happen is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually this feeling is a feeling that you might not have a name for it, but it's there all the time, but you're not aware of it. And it started a long, long, long time ago. Now, when somebody says, oh, you're behaving just like a three-year-old. Well, that's because you've got a three-year-old fragment there. A fragment. So something happened when you were three that was so traumatic that you've divided yourself into pieces. You know, people talk about, oh, I'm broken. You know, my heart is broken. I feel broken. You know, all these words. I'm fragmented. You know, I'm all over the place. People use these phrases all the time to describe their psychological state. So, when you've got a fragmented psychological state, it means that there are frozen pieces of you that are hidden throughout your history. And like we say, you know, these could also be intrusions from a past life. You know, whatever you might call karma. Because if, say, you might intrude upon somebody else in another life, but that somebody else becomes the person who intrudes on your life in this life. You see the way it might work?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I've had, you know, a lot of past life intrusive bleed through experiences, especially regarding my twin, who we were separated traumatically 60,000 years ago. And after I met him, I started just having involuntary memories of past lifetimes, you know, and the memories were usually pretty traumatic.
Well, maybe we should, you see that link that I posted to you in the Skype chat room? Have a listen to that. It's a YouTube, and it does that thing that I was talking about, the thing about swaying gently from side to side. It's got this, it's a bit like a cymbal, sounds like a cymbal, you know, on a drum kit, you know, when it's a very kind of pleasant feeling to have this thing it sways from side to side, so, you know, see if I can do that. Doctor Who with the Lyra person. Yeah, I sent a message to Simon Parts today saying that Doctor Who seems almost biographical of my life at the moment. So that's quite, it's been quite crazy. Yes, indeed, Brandon. Quite crazy. Right. So, well, I'm out of tea. I'm going to have to wait 20 minutes for the next break. Oh. So, the fragment that is broken off at that point stays with that feeling, holds that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, if that fragment is such, you know, if this is a very, very early memory or a very, very early event before you could actually speak, you will have no consciousness of it, because your consciousness is up in the higher cortex that can speak. Okay? So, unless you were to receive a blow on the head, you wouldn't be vibrating at that level, you see? You know, unless you, like, maybe took something like Quaaludes, or you go, slow yourself right down.
Yeah.
To get down to that pre-speech level. Anyway, so this being, this fragment, holds itself in the feeling that you can't feel. But every so often, it protrudes into your reality. Because it's you, right? It's sitting in your aura. It's been pushed out of your body, but it's still in you, still with you. And so it can then reach out to other people and give them the feeling. And they feel this thing, and then they respond to you saying, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
And that then sparks that feeling back in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the big conflict, blah, 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 and you end up in tears, blah, 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 blah.
And we think that it's the other person. Yeah.
We think it's the other person. But mm-hmm. it's actually this fragment of ours has poked that person with that feeling. I mean, it's nothing more than vibrations, right? But the vibration that you couldn't handle, that you pushed out, that you denied, is now activating other people. So I use the phrase, we share our feelings. In a very literal sense, is that if we don't tell somebody I'm feeling like this, you will make them feel like that.
Well,
whether you tell them or not, if the best thing is to tell somebody, you know, communication within relationships really works well, you know, because you're dealing with feeling each other's feelings. You know, how many times have you had an argument with somebody? How many times you're in a relationship and been several years, and you remember, oh, remember how we used to fight at the beginning, and you know, oh, do you remember that time when such and such, and oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I was feeling so in love. Really? That's funny, because that's exactly how I was feeling about you. What? You felt the same way that I was feeling about you? Yeah. And this kind of thing happens all the time.
Right.
Because that's how things happen. So, how do we solve this? The way to solve it is to address the being that is doing the feeling in the first place. The fragment of you that is 3 years old, or, you know, newborn or whatever, needs to somehow connect with the adult part of you, you know, the everyday consciousness part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I just imagine, is that can you see the child in front of you? Yeah, well, pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a cuddle, give it a kiss, you know, give it, make it feel loved, because that's what it is. You know, it's most of these times it's the time when you just didn't feel loved at all. Mm-hmm. And you lost faith that anybody would ever love you, and it's like, oh, God, you know what kids are like. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's the end of forever. Oh, have some ice cream. Oh, I feel better now. It's amazing, the healing power of ice cream.
Yeah.
Let's just jump from that very trivial example, you know, how easy it is to change someone's mind. Here, have some ice cream. Oh, I feel better now. You know, even the thought of having some ice cream makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even, you know, better than the, you know, or probably better than the ice cream itself. Well, you know, in terms of the percentage it'll take you out of, you know, it's about 90% the thought of it, and, you know, 10% the actual ice cream. Because
after
a while you realize, oh my God, this is so fattening, it's got sugar in it, my nung is going to go crazy, I'm going to come out in ulcers and spots, and, you know.
Or it's just really junky ice cream, it's hard to get really good ice cream. So what's in your mind is like, you know, the hand-cranked fresh peach ice cream of your childhood, and you go to the grocery store, and yuck.
It's disappointment, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There's a lot of disappointment involved in this whole thing. Right, hang on. I'm hearing a lot of crackling on my mic. Let me just adjust my preamp. It's going to... Hang on. Ah, that's better.
Yep.
That's a lot better. Ahem.
Get those little dust particles out of there.
Funny. Anyway, meanwhile, so the fragment, the child fragment that is traumatized. Trauma can come in many, many, many shapes and forms. And people might think, oh, well, you know, some people have it really bad. Oh, I had a terrible childhood. My parents used to beat me. Blah, blah, blah. Or I had a really terrible childhood. You know, my mother never bought me a horse. You know, everybody's got their own traumas.
Right.
Dad didn't buy me a zebra.
Actually, I had a pretty decent childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my folks were, you know, nice middle class and basically pretty happy. And what's interesting was I went from that, and at 20 I jumped into a guru cult, false guru, and was in an ashram for 10 years. really, really off the deep end.
So, let me just jump in there. That would be a very 7-6 thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking for structure.
Mm-hmm.
And before you can create structure of your own, you have to experience other structures.
Yeah.
And so it would follow that, therefore, that having experience in cults and groups, that would be the thing to do. That would be your experience. You would choose those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
How traumatic were they? Or was it only the... When did you feel like you went suddenly, you know, there was the moment when you went in over your head? And
well,
how long did it take you to realize that point had happened?
Wow. Let me think. Okay, so I was in this the summer of 72, Philadelphia, new boyfriend, lots of LSD, lots of like cosmic experiences opening, you know, new age, new whatever, whatever, whatever. And I got picked up hitchhiking to school one day, and I was handed a little brochure with this picture of this young boy, and it said, "The energy that moves the atom moves you." And I'm looking at this picture, and these guys are giving me the spiel for the cult, and the whole world just disappeared. And the whole car got really quiet for a moment. And one of the guys says, "You know, he can see you looking at him." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So a few weeks later, the guru comes to town. Mark and I drop some windowpane acid and we go to see him. And, you know, so there's all these, you know, love, bubbly, blah, 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 blah people there. And the guru walks out on stage. And it was like I saw, and I have come to believe that this was something that he was some kind of a magician and had an ability to project this. But it was like I saw every master going back before the last golden age, and that he was the greatest incarnation since Atlantis. And he used to claim that, you know, masters come with 6 powers, 10 powers, whatever, and he came with all 64 powers, blah, blah, blah. And, but nobody had told me this, but I had that experience. And then I heard his voice in my head go, "You have waited for this moment for 13,764 years, 27 days, 16 hours, and 32 seconds." So that was a pretty profound experience. So a couple days later, I go and get the initiation, which wasn't really that great. And my boyfriend goes, "I don't really like it. I don't want you hanging out with it. We're just not going to get into it." And then a year went by, and things with him soured. And then an opportunity came for me to get involved with the cult again, and I did. Moved into the ashram and basically spent 10 years there as a devotee, giving up my entire self to that, to, you know, supporting the guru, to believing that he would really make a big change in the world, following him around, giving all my money to him, giving my identity to him. And then with basically no notice, no explanation, given or anything, he shut down the ashrams and we were all kicked out on the street with about a month's notice. So here I am, 30 years old, with a suitcase of clothes and a bicycle and a minimum wage job and no life skills, no emotional skills, no nothing, walking back into the world. You know, all of a sudden picking up the pieces of what I had left behind 10 years before.
So I can, you know, get that, because you can become institutionalized very easily. I mean, this is like people who leave the army as well. they have a similar experience. And well, indeed, it's a sixth ray. Here's the thing. Every time, you remember I was talking about church, actually. Every time you come through a situation like that, it's a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a chance to shed a life. And it will be, there will be, you know, things like that happened in other lives for you.
Oh, it did. And I later, I was.
Were you a guru in another life?
Not that I remember, but when I worked 3 years with that shaman that I told you about this morning, we explored my past life history with that guru and his father, and the story was real, and I have never wanted to go to India, which is interesting because this was like, you know, a guru cult with all the Indian trappings kind of thing. And the story was that I was a young girl, you know, 8, 10, whatever, at whatever age girls got married in those days. And this was maybe 1,000 years ago. And I'm in my wedding finery, and I'm on one of those things that the guys hold on the poles, you know, with the curtains around them.
Yeah, and we call that a chuppah, don't we?
Say it again?
In Jewish, don't you call it a chuppah?
I don't know, because I wasn't raised Jewish.
All right. Anyway, it's a little canopy on four sticks, yeah?
Yeah, a little canopy on four sticks with curtains all around, and I'm in my, like, you know, 12-year-old wedding dress or whatever, and I'm getting ready to meet my twin and be married to him. And I get kidnapped by the man that was my guru's father in this lifetime. And the way it was described is that these two people pass the guruship life or whatever it is, the business lifetime after lifetime, where they'll incarnate as each other's sons and the business gets passed along. The scam basically gets passed along. So the father raped me and had me as a sex slave and then imbued the son with this golden Krishna aura, and after he would beat me up, whatever, he would send me over there. I would have a wonderful time with him, with the sun. I'd be all in love with him. My bruises would heal. My emotions would heal. You know, I'd start to fall in love, open up, and just as I'd get all relaxed, the father would yank me back again for more abuse, and this went on for a while until I got pregnant and died in childbirth.
My fillets are stuffed very well. Yes, Revolution Radio, where you can get your big ass fries. Yeah, you can indeed get your big ass fries and all sorts of seeds. Actually, you can't get potato seeds, can you? There's a bit of a.
No, see, people get little potatoes.
Yeah, that's better. There was a bit of a feedback loop going on there. Anywho, I've got a nice cup of tea with honey, because my throat was a little sore from all that chattering. I've been yammering on all day. Anywho, so where were we? We protruded from one lifetime where you were in a position of being thrown from pillar to post between these two guys. And so what was... Did you ever go back to the origin of it? That kind of got you involved in this. What decided you would go for? What part of you decided that you would go for this experience from the higher perspective?
In that lifetime or this lifetime?
In all lifetimes.
All lifetimes.
Or haven't you got there? I mean, that's quite. Asking that of somebody is quite a high question, really. You know.
Yeah. I never really made a connection between, I made a connection between that lifetime moving forward with, what would you say, you know, lack of self-worth, sexual deviancy, that kind of thing. But going to where I would have called that to me, no. No. I haven't really explored that.
It would be an interesting... So, you know, if you were extra-dimensional, or a god, or somebody looking down on this place and thinking, there's an interesting place. It's, you know, a bit like going to Las Vegas or something like that. And, you know, whatever happens in Las Vegas, you know, gets broadcast on the internet, you know. But... You know, that sort of thing, a place where you think, all right, okay, I can have this, I can go for the weirdest experience ever, you know, in a series of lifetimes that spans the entire history of a planet. And, you know, what would I want to learn by doing that? Because there is obviously that question has to be hanging there, is that, you know, what... Not saying what would you do this for, but what would someone do this for? What would be the experience gained, and what would it prevent, perhaps? Let's take it all away. What do your experiences now prevent?
Let's see. I kind of keep to myself. You know, long periods of celibacy, to be frank.
So that's not engaging at all in the whole relationship process.
Yeah. You're getting an echo.
That's all right.
Delay of my voice. Okay.
That's okay. It's only when my mic's open that you say something loud and it'll come through the mic.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. What I'm feeling from this whole story is a continuation of, I related to you last Monday about coming to this planet with my twin and being attacked and that being very traumatic and that kind of setting the pattern for the whole time I've been on this planet, which is about 60,000 years. And I have to say, I still feel pretty sucky. I mean, it really is, you know, kind of a victimhood pattern that started day one, me being on this planet, and it hasn't been a fun ride, and I haven't really known how to get out of it.
All right, well, let's look at this, if you like.
Yeah.
In public. But... You know, we can talk a little abstract because, you know, here we are, 21st century, talking on these two computers and nobody's listening and, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, you know, there's a trauma that happens. Now, remember I was just talking, in the previous segment about, how if a trauma happens to you, you fragment, but one of those fragments holds that feeling.
Yeah.
So,
and
do you go ahead?
That I was like a 10 or 12 year old kid when that happened, and I keep reverting back to that kind of emotional age as well.
So there is a 12 year old child who is still. I mean, when you were 12, what happened in your life when you were 12?
Wasn't so much 12, but when I was 10, my family moved from Columbus to Pittsburgh. My dad changed jobs, and that was traumatic for me. I was uprooted from my little fairy friends down at the creek and all of a sudden stuck in a big city, apart from nature, and, you know, felt very lonely, and so something was torn away from me.
Okay, so that's very much a reflection of moving from planet Bliss to planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And there's a very strong sensation in that transition of me not really having been confined to my body, not having identified with my body as the edges of my identity. up until the time I was 10, and all of a sudden feeling this compression where I was compressed into my body, and it was very confining.
Okay, yeah, that is the process of reducing from a higher dimensional being to a third dimensional being. That is exactly what you experienced, and it was traumatic.
So, horrible.
So that's so it's a crash landing, mm-hmm. and you really haven't gotten over that.
No, not really.
So, so if I was counseling somebody about their own life moment, the first thing I'd do is I would say, are you seeing your 12-year-old self in front of you? So, mm-hmm. if you could imagine yourself in front of you, what would she be saying to you?
Get me the hell off this planet.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to her?
I'm trying.
And you've been trying ever since.
Yeah, I have been.
So, you remember that thing about the going from left to right to left to right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that with your hands and just follow your eyes? I can't do it for you. Here we are on the other side of the world.
Right.
But basically,
so I count to how much between the left and
just,
the right?
Just slowly, sort of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, you know, something about that sort of across. Okay. While you communicate, if you can, with this 12-year-old, does she have a name?
Well, my soul name is Kafaratha.
Is that her name?
Close enough. I don't see another name for her.
Mm-hmm. So, she's there, okay? So she's there having to cope. And you know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take yourself back to that moment when you described earlier when you just left the cult.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that the same feeling as her feeling of being dumped alone on the planet?
Not quite, but similar. Yeah, I similar enough to be part of that same overall plan, pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a kind of, I have to start all this over again feeling.
Yeah. And this feeling, well, I remember before I came to this planet having this fear of how will I recognize my family in new bodies. You know, everybody would have a different body because we were going to be like teleported, but not physically, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but how was I going to recognize them, and having this fear of arriving here and being alone, and basically that's what happened.
So that's what happens.
Yeah.
When you have a fear.
So, yeah, of deep abandonment.
So let's wind this even further back. Can you talk to the, I can't remember, was it Nakala?
Kafaratha.
Can you say it slowly?
Yeah, Kafaratha.
Yeah, because we haven't got very good hi-fi on this call, but Kafaratha.
No, I'll write it.
Okay. Kafaratha. It's almost like Catherine, isn't it? Kafaratha. All right. Okay. Kafaratha. So, if you were to talk to her while she was fretting about going,
mm-hmm.
what would you counsel her to say? What would you say to her at that point?
I'm having a really hard time doing that because the trauma is in the way.
Yeah. Okay.
The trauma of being attacked is very big.
Hmm.
Because what happened when we were attacked was, okay, so imagine you're, you know, on the Star Trek ship and, you know, beam me up and everybody's got their, you know, little stream of golden light that they're in this, almost like inside almost like a tube of golden light, and we're traveling through space in a non-physical form and we're attacked and I got frightened and I jumped my light stream into my twin's light stream and jumped into his arm. And when we got here, we were kind of all melted together. And to be separated, someone just kind of took a knife and cut down the middle. Parts of me were in him, parts of him were in me. And he never recognized me. Ever.
All right, so there was an attack,
mm-hmm.
and then you jumped,
yeah,
according to the attack, and
to
then,
where
then things went very sour, but it was like the attack didn't hurt you; it was what happened as a result of the attack that hurt you.
Yes.
So can you go back to the attack point?
I don't really remember the attack because I blamed myself for my actions all these years. So I don't remember the attack.
Okay, so if you blame yourself, what do you blame yourself for? What did Kapharatha blame herself for?
Destroying the relationship with my twin.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying him. Destroying any chance of us completing the mission that we were supposed to complete on this planet. We were supposed to go to Lemuria. And we were supposed to found a royal bloodline. We were supposed to have a Christed child, and that would change the course of history on the planet so that we wouldn't be where we are now. And I never made it to Lemuria. My next memory is being someplace else. Not an unpleasant place, but waking up, being a young adult, seeing my twin, running after him and him just giving me this blank stare.
So that's, you know, that keeps the same feeling going of being separate. And so mm-hmm. can we now go and because we, you know, basically Kapharatha needs to clear herself.
Right.
Right, because it's all tangled up in her feelings that have caused the whole thing to trickle down,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're vibrating and banging against the walls as you're coming in history. It's getting more and more. So
mm-hmm.
if we can go to the point where she is... Okay. So again, see if we can do that. I know it's hard to do. Maybe there is a YouTube that I found earlier that has this light that goes from side to side. I can't find it right now. God, no, too many things. But however, if we were to look at her and see if there was any way to get through to her, What would have been an effective way of keeping her calm? So she's obviously, I mean, she's primed herself with all of these fears.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as something happens, I mean, you say it was an attack. It might not have been an attack. It might just have been a routine obstacle.
Right.
But because you were so full of fears, she was so full of fears, that you could see she was just primed to, you know, to jump and make an incorrect choice.
Right. Well, and don't forget, as I told you the last week, I was probably the only child on that whole expedition. I don't know how many hundreds of people there were.
Mm.
And it was not done lightly that someone that young should make that trip.
Mm. Yeah, so there was a lot. I mean, you can see, you know, there was obviously a pressure to perform, to get things right. You know, and young kids are full of stuff, and they're full of hormones and things.
Right.
Hormones cause you to make some very seriously bad choices in life. Oh, this person smells nice. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, let's go and have a baby. Yeah, all right. Sort of thing. But so you can forgive that kid for making that mistake. Can't you?
Yeah.
So if you were to stand in front of her, how is she to you?
She's actually pretty good. Somehow.
Can you tell her that you forgive her?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, I forgive her.
Can you ask her to forgive herself?
Yeah. That's a little more difficult, but yeah.
That's the hardest one. But it's the most essential one. Whenever I've had to deal with spirits or things like that, even the most intelligent, they don't forgive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it's time now. You know, enough is, you know, everybody suffered enough.
Right. Sure. You know how a kid will just kind of like shrug their shoulders and go, okay.
So, can you give her a hug?
Yeah.
You can stay in touch as well.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot to catch up on. So, what's going on for you, Karen?
Oh, it's good. It's like me and her and the teddy bear kind of thing, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Have a pajama party or something nice.
Right, yeah.
So, I've never done that with a past life before. But it's all part of the fractal.
It is. You know, I mean, yeah, it'd be the same as a childhood, you know, regression.
Yeah, it's essentially the same. Except there's, you know, there's no, I'm not hypnotizing you. There's no regression going on. It's like you're here,
mm-hmm.
and you're just focusing your imagination, your imaging system.
Mm-hmm.
Onto that. So, yeah, there's a... there's a great weight to be lifted off her shoulders.
Yeah, I think it's going to take time for her to process that my twin's journey is his own. And that I didn't cause what's happened to him in the meantime. All these many years. As impossible as that seems, because the fragmentation there was so big and focused on the head region that for him there's never been like enough of him here to do the soul retrieval work to bring his pieces back together, and I want to jump in and do it for him. Because I still feel, you know, there's still that feeling of responsibility. So, you know,
So the way that I would approach that, it's not a sort of conventional way of doing it, but basically is, you know what shape he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know where your boundaries finish. And, you know, Maybe this child had boundary issues.
Yeah.
Maybe there's other issues that happened before in her previous lives.
Right. Well, and then don't forget that up until a few years ago, parts of him were in me and parts of me were in him. And I spent a couple years in shamanic therapy, separating those, you know, and it may not be completely complete. There may still be parts and places they don't belong.
If you keep going back to the point of origin, because I can see that there's, you know, that's not the beginning of the history.
Right.
That nervous child was not the beginning of the history. This is the middle of the history. And it goes back further than that.
And I don't have memories between there and when I told you that I remembered being created by my cosmic parents and them singing that Kaparatha song and singing me into existence. I have not found the thread to take me beyond the nervous little girl. I don't remember anything before that.
Yeah. Okay. So, in the same way that we have blocks in our memory, where there were great trauma, you know, that nervous little girl maybe was the result of some traumatic episode that you're not able to recall yet because you haven't even gotten to this part. But now you got to this part, things might open up further.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So let's see if we can you forgive. Can you, Karen, forgive Kaparatha? Kaparatha. Can you forgive her for being nervous and making all those mistakes?
Yeah.
Can she forgive herself for being nervous and making wrong choice?
She's still having a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah, because she needs to know that it's not her fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's beyond the scope of this particular conversation, because I was just going to give you a Ray reading. However, I mean, this is pretty much a you know, this is how somebody can work with healing past lives, you know, and healing the trauma, because it all, like I was saying before, you know, you have a past life trauma and it impinges on this in this life. Can you see how that energy can become a completely codependent person?
Totally. What it has resulted in for me is me having the kind of low self-esteem, that I'm the doormat, I'm the one that gets duped and used. That's the result of, my self-worthlessness that I have held on to all this time.
Well, that's because you feel that you deserve it.
Yeah.
So, it's only when you decide, okay, you've had enough now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's doing the punishment here?
Oh, me.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you had enough punishment, Karen?
Yeah, I think so.
Has Kaffirotha had enough punishment?
Not sure.
Interesting.
She's getting there.
How much more does she need? You know?
I think she's getting there.
I'm getting the idea, huh? You know, this is... Because, look, where we started was, you know, why would you experience this thing? This experience with the guru and the son and the father and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, we have found the question. Mm-hmm. Because the reason that you're experiencing that is because you decided that you deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer to that question. The next question is, do you still deserve it? Or have you paid for your mistakes? Have you righted the wrongs? Have you gone back to change the timeline? Which you can do. As we just have, actually. Live on Radio Revolution Radio, we have actually changed the timeline here.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have, as I said, done a lot of work prior to this, too. Yeah. So much has changed.
So... So coming in, you know, with that sort of feeling of guilt, for this is what it is,
mm-hmm.
It's guilt, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely a lot of guilt, yeah.
You know, and there you were, you know, talking at the earlier part of the show, and you're saying, oh, you know, I was a real wild child, and it was like, yeah, I did some naughty things. And
mm-hmm.
in a way, you know, it's like, right? Yeah, that was so terrible. You know, what could be so bad? You know, you probably didn't hurt people, torture them, did you?
Didn't torture people, but, you know, probably broke some hearts, made some people pissed. Yeah, but nothing, you know.
No overtly sadomasochistic events. You know, I can't imagine you with chains and leather.
Yeah.
So, you know, so... You probably didn't, you know, you're probably just being a bit oversensitive about it, that people probably didn't even notice.
No, because everybody was too quaaluded out.
Yeah, exactly, you know. You could have done anything. You probably could have flounced. You could have flounced naked.
There was no probably about it. I did flounce, I admit it.
Video or it never happened. Anyway, you know, so what one's own inner perception of what's going on in the world is often over-amplified. You know, when you're when you're internally focused all the time, it's like, everybody's looking at me, and as we realize, you know, everybody's completely off their faces and in their own world, in their own universe.
Exactly.
So, you probably don't have that much karma. You may be oversensitized to it, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the process. You know, you're trying to work out the karma and fix it and sort things out.
Yeah.
So here we are. Karen Kirschbaum is now a whole person. How does that concept fit? If you were to say that to yourself, how much, out of 10, where would that score? in terms of how true you feel that to be?
I'm coming in about an 8.
Good.
Yeah.
So, 20% to go.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and these, this is where you go back beyond the 12-year-old, and I'd really just check out that video. I'll have to post it in the chat room as well into Revolution Radio. It is an awesome thing. Where is it? This one? Yeah, there we go. You can't really hear it. Well, maybe. You can't hear it over Skype.
We work on projects all over the world, be that Rio's Olympic Park.
You can't really hear it in stereo. You can hear it, if you're listening on Wolf Spirit Radio, you'll be able to hear this stereophonic sound. But on Rev Radio, because I'm on Skype, which is mono, it will. There we go. Come on. So, of course, it's not working. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it into the chat room anyway. Because I'm just getting a whirly gig on it. Nope. That's not what's in there. Oh, by the way, next Monday, early on in the day, I'm going to have a little Andromedan conversation with some other Andromedans. That should be quite interesting. I will fill you in. Sadly, it's at the same time as Mona's show, but it's the only slot I've got. So we'll see what's going on there. Okay. So I was trying to find this meditation thing. Is it going to? Oh, let's go.
On the radio.
Okay, you kind of get an idea of it, but you know, you're probably hearing it in one part of your head, but those on Wolf Spirit Radio were hearing it kind of going across the way. It's a shame I can't play this on Rev Radio in stereo. I put the link in the chat page here, and if you search on YouTube for Proven Meditation Technique EMDR Audio 1 hour version. And the track is called Cosmic Serenity. And so Karen, did you hear, could you hear this thing?
Okay, are we back?
Aha. Hang on, let me put my Bach away. Put your Bach away, boy. Anyway, meanwhile, where was one?
Well, you were asking me if I could hear the left brain to right brain.
Oh, motion. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I said I, even though it was in mono, I could hear where it was supposed to be, you know, as it would go across my field.
Hmm. So I would really recommend, you know, just getting, you know, getting down with a pair of headphones and that, listening to that YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And just see if you can clear some of those memory paths, and certainly the forgiveness. thing, because that's gonna make a whole bunch of difference to you. No matter if you're unforgiven of your own 10-year-old, 12-year-old self, or your baby self, what's my guide say? Forgiveness at the first instance, they say. You know, before you do anything else, forgive. Because there's no way else. And, you know, I always talk about Doctor Who. This is exactly what it's been about. It was just incredible. All about forgiveness. And, you know, the brink of war. Which is, you know, he brought up the brink of war between two races, one of whom looks like humans and one of them is humans, and that have been living together, and they were revealed to be different. Or they were threatening to reveal to be different, which was a caused war. So that was a great episode. So meanwhile, so forgiveness is one of our greatest tools in doing this healing, because it's like there's a little sausage, a little tight little bundled sausage that is just about to burst, but forgiveness undoes the knot and allows it to not tear as it bursts, to release its charge.
Well, I did have a big knot in my stomach, and I don't anymore, so that's a good thing.
That's very good. Whereabouts in your stomach? Can you point to it?
Solar plexus, above the...
So if you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth... That's a good way of reducing the pressure in something. You know about breathing into something, breathing into a place.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So if that's obviously, you know, for most people, that's the place where we hold all this stuff. There may be other parts that once this is released, other parts start coming up. Because this is the main kind of scrunched up organ or part of your body.
Yeah.
You got it all scrunched up tight because you know this is going good. And of course, if your solar plexus is scrunched up tight, you can't. Your diaphragm doesn't work properly, and you can't breathe properly. And when you can't breathe properly, you can't get oxygen in your body. When you can't get oxygen in your body, when it's tight, it gets septic and sick and get ill.
Mm-hmm.
And you get infections, and then you get cancer and die, because part of you is dying by scrunching it up. I don't want to see that. I don't want to feel this. That is what is going to kill you, and you know, mess things up for everybody else, and you know, everybody else, including your everybody else, your other selves, which turn out to be you.
Right. Oh, let me tell you a story about my first experience of having a past life healing. This was actually really a cool story. Okay, so I have like a little deformity in the lower part of my back that I was born with that's called lumbarization of the sacrum. And it's like my sacrum, part of my sacrum is like an extra lumbar vertebrae. So it just has the function of destabilizing my whole hip area. And I think it's genetic. I don't know anybody else in the family that has it, but I have a feeling that it is genetic. So anyway, I would get a lot of bad sciatic pain and was working as a chef. And of course I'm always lifting stuff at odd angles, you know, shoving 40 pounds of lettuce into that corner up above, you know, or down below, whatever, you know, kind of thing. So, I mean, I would be visibly limping. I would get a stabbing pain where all of a sudden my leg would collapse under me and I'd have to, like, you know, kind of catch myself on the table. So, periodically, not all the time, but a lot. So, anyway, I went to this guy and for a psychic healing, whatever, and, so he quizzed me through a bunch of things about, you know, had I had you know, any sexual abuse as a child and know this and know that, you know, so eliminate some current stuff. So he puts me on the massage table and, you know, so I'm lying on my back. He holds my feet and he goes, "Woo, what we have here is an anal impaling." And he said, "You did something that made some people really mad a long time ago. You're in Europe before Europe was Europe as we know it, but sometime after Atlantis." And he said, they were really, really mad at you and they publicly executed you by, perching you on a pointed greased stick and letting gravity impale you, over a matter of hours while they threw rotten eggs and rotten tomatoes at you."
Holy crap.
Pardon?
Holy crap.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, we do the session and then over the next few days, it was like, you know how when you bang yourself, you know, like you hit your funny bone, you're going to do it again and again and again. Oh, then first thing he said you have long since worked through the karma that was between you and these people. That has been healed, but the memory of that trauma is so intense that is what's impinging on you. So it's not like you're having to clear the karma to clear the pain. You just have to clear the pain. So over the next few days, I had memories of like getting, you know, like a runaway cart just banging into my left hip and shattering it, or, you know, falling on a pointed rock and just messing up my whole pelvic area and stuff, you know, like over and over again over different lifetimes. And to the point where one night I was laying in bed, and I don't even know if I moved, but I don't know if you've ever experienced a sciatic pain or the pinch. Sciatic nerve is the largest nerve in the body. When it gets pinched,
holy Lord, yes, I have quite a lot.
So all of a sudden, you know, I'm laying in bed and I'm not in any pain, and all of a sudden this lightning bolt of electric pain goes through my whole sciatic nerve and literally lifts me 3 inches off the bed. So it took me about a week to integrate that healing and remembering and everything. And then after that, I pretty much have been, it bothers me once in a while, but not, you know, not like that ever. Not like that ever. So, it really can work. I mean, it really, some of the deep pains that we have may not be from this lifetime, but may be a holdover of the trauma from previous lifetimes, and that can be released.
And of course, you know, things that happen to us happen as a result of the things that we do to others, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when we work back, we find that, you know, we're pinging back and forth between like a couple, or, you know, just however you're arranging your soul group to have these experiences.
Yeah.
So, although, you know, you may not have seeded the planet with a Christed child, there are other things that could have happened, and there are other things that can happen as a result of your presence, because now you've brought the whole genetics and stories and wisdom and understandings of your people, which in itself, you know, like you were saying before, people just hearing my voice, well, you just being on the planet.
Yeah.
Touché.
Yeah, being on the planet and clearing that whole trauma. And I really have cleared most of that trauma. I mean, today was a piece of it. But I worked on it like 10 years every day. You know, right now it's sporadic. It doesn't come up but every couple of years. another little piece of it, another little fragment of it that will come. Today was a larger fragment. Yeah. Like I said, I slogged through the coal mines of my soul for 10 years, every day doing this kind of work, day in and day out. Trying to find that magic place where if I clear all my karma, my twin flame's going to wake up and recognize.
How about just letting him wake up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about that? You know, just as a, you know, as a, as an intention rather than a wake up and recognize me. Maybe that,
right.
Maybe that might take a little while. Maybe, yeah. Maybe you could get on and, you know, see if you, see who else you could recognize. Who can you recognize?
Yeah.
Who have you not recognized in your life is the other question that is begged by this man is not recognizing me. Who have you not recognized that is causing that reflection, you see?
Yeah. Well, I gave up on that dream, you know, back around, oh, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. You know, I mean, that was, but that was that passion that drove me. I mean, yeah, that is a false dream because it's making my work dependent on how it affects somebody else. And I had to understand that whole dream, but that was the fuel. That was the passion. I mean, people ask me, you know, how do you get into past life work? And that was a passion that was, that really drove me. To do, you know, huge amounts of work to clear everything that I could possibly find to clear at that moment. And so I blessed that. I mean, I really actually, that journey was like the most amazing journey I could have. You know, it's like meeting him destroyed my life and made my life both at the same time was like the worst thing and the best thing. I mean, I really hung in the balance of suicide for several months because I was still married. It would destroyed my marriage. And I was like, you know, I loved my husband, but I wasn't in love with him. I was in love with my twin flame, but he wasn't in love with me. And I was like screaming to God for months. Jesus got to die after one day. Please, let me get off of this cross. If I kill myself, will I find relief? No. Well, if I do it, would I find relief for a month? No. 10 days? No. A day? No. And I swear to you, if I could have gotten relief from that torture, for even a day, I probably would have done it.
Karen.
Yeah.
We're coming to the top of the hour. Okay. Let's not be interrupted by the guitar. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for opening up. And, you know, also being almost like being vivisected, you know, sort of live kind of past. It wasn't really a regression. As I said, it's not, it's a conversation, but there are things we can alter about the timeline, and set up. Basically, you know, we're infinite. We can communicate with any part of our other self, any part of any other previous lives. We can talk to. You just have to say hello. And so, with that saying hello, we say goodbye. Thank you very much, Karen Keshbaum.
Okay.